your life takes so many different twists and turns, and it's all going to work out. We just have to trust ourselves that we're the journeyer, that what we choose to jump into and what we choose to stay out of is part of that grand path. It's going to be okay. I think worry is the trick. It's the thing that can either just make you feel like, oh, I can't hang back because that's the threat, is that I'll miss something. Or if I hang back, then my business is gonna tank, right? That you get yourself into worry pot number one or worry pot number two. And that's no fun either. Online business is difficult enough without having your own mindset lead you into bucket one or bucket two of worry.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you with me today, as always, and I've got a great episode for you today. I've got a returning guest with me, Christine Lee. Dr. Christine Lee is on the show. She was on the show, we think, maybe about 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And in that episode, which I've linked in the show notes, we talk a lot about her work, especially her work at the time around procrastination. Now, we touch on that today, but boy, did we have an amazing conversation around finding yourself. One of the things that is really on my mind these days is centered around the data and the research that I keep bringing up around trust, buyer trust, connection, authenticity, and how do we really get to those things rather than just tossing the word about? This is a very rich, deep, delightful conversation that I absolutely know you are going to gain so much from. I want to tell you a little bit about Dr. Christine Lee, but I want to give you a quick reminder. Well, it's actually not even a reminder because I don't know if I've mentioned to you yet that I am doing 20-minute speaking audits and 20-minute speaking audits on my podcast. If you would like to have a speaking audit and you're thinking, what is a speaking audit? Well, for 20 minutes, I will sit with you and I will do what many people call the Tracy Show, which is I will tell you how you are being processed in the subconscious of your listener. I am not going to sell you anything. I am not going to plug in techniques, but I will tell you, here's what I hear. Whatever that is, I will tell you the layers of sound that I hear. Now, if you don't want to do it on the podcast, and I am specifically plugging these into the Psychology of the Voice podcast, that's okay. You can let me know. I'd love to do a speaking audit, but I don't know how I feel about doing it on that podcast. What you want to do is either find me on Instagram, Captivate the Room, and send me a direct message, or feel free to send me an email, Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, at CaptivateTheRoom.com. And my email is in the show notes. Just let me know you want to do an audit. The link for the previous episode that I did with Dr. Christine Lee, the link for my Captivate the Room Instagram will be in the show notes. But let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Christine Lee is a clinical psychologist in New York for the past 20 years and who has been online as a procrastination coach for the past 10 years. She helps people who are struggling with underperforming at work and at home to work smoothly and with high levels of productivity. Her unique coaching process is a blend of mindset strategy, time, and emotion management tips. I love that. And a deep belief in the power we each have when we treat ourselves with love and good self-care. And these topics come up in our conversation today, and we really define them. We really look at going inside to discover who you are. Dr. Lee is the author of the book, 5-Minute Self-Discipline Exercises, Stay Motivated, Cultivate Good Habits, and Achieve Your Goals, and the host of the podcast, Make Time for Success, which I have been a guest on. Follow Dr. Lee to learn how to ditch the guilt, judgment, and self-sabotaging and unhelpful habits so that you can feel focused and fulfilled in your life. Christine is a former student of mine and an absolutely brilliant woman, does extraordinary work. And honestly, I'm most delighted to say to you, I think of her as my friend. I know you're going to love her as much as I do. Now let's head over to the show. Christine, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Hi, Tracy. Good to see you again. And thank you for having me on again.
Yeah. Listeners, Christine was on the show quite a while ago. I don't even remember how long ago that was. I typically equate things by where I lived. And I know I was in Texas, so I think it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, but I would say.
That feels so long ago. Maybe because I just got to meet you live and in person, which is something that I always love when I get to meet people live.
We had so much fun doing that. And I'm really grateful that not only were we able to see each other live and hang out at the conference, but also to just be in touch over the years as well. Yeah. So it feels like we've been in touch. So thank you for that.
I love it. Well, I'm going to link the previous episode in the show notes. And the last time Christine was on the show, we talked about her work. And I am going to ask her to maybe introduce herself with the work that she does, but that's not really what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a very timely and important topic that I'm thrilled is rising to the surface, which is finding yourself, finding the real you. You know, we throw this word authenticity around, and I throw it around too, but we're really going to talk about what that means today. So I think you're going to love this conversation. Christine, let's just have you give a brief introduction of, I know we're going to talk about some things that are shifting, but tell the listeners a little bit about who you are.
Thank you so much. I would want to start out by saying that I am a student of Tracy Goodwin's, and Tracy helped me a few years ago, mid-pandemic era, height of the pandemic, I believe, or was it a little bit before then? It was maybe a little bit before the pandemic hit. And I had met Tracy in a podcasting course, and the moment I learned what she did, I knew in my heart of hearts, I need to work with this woman. It was the surest thing I've ever done. And sure as I was really helped, voice and person, by my time in Tracy's program. So I do want to put that up front, because I do feel that that has helped me professionally, personally, confidence-wise, how I show up. And I hope you'll hear it in my voice in today's conversation. And the rest of me, I am a psychologist. I live in New York. I've been online doing all sorts of experiments for the past maybe 12 years, I want to say. So I'm an old timer at this. And my heart's work is really helping people to have an easier time of things. I do not want people to be wasting their precious time, their precious lifetime, feeling like they're not enough, or they don't have what it takes, or they can't do what they really dream of doing. And so over the years, I've just experimented with different forms and formats of being able to help people to find themselves, stop procrastinating. That is my particular specialty. Stop feeling worried about everything so that they can experience more joy in their daily lives.
Yeah, so good. And I think it is a journey. You know, when we go on these shows, it's very common for the first question to be, tell us about who you are. Or one that I get all the time is, how did you get into this work? And when I tell that story, my life flashes in front of my eyes, because I think back to 30 years ago, was not even remotely what you see now. And that, I think, yes, growing up to a degree knew exactly what I was going to do with my life, but it ultimately morphed and shifted and changed so much over the years. And I'm so grateful that I allowed myself the permission to do that, because I don't know that we do. And that's really what I want to talk about. But I want to jump back to voice for just a minute, because I did have the wonderful opportunity to work with Christina. I think I was actually the first interview on your podcast, was I?
You weren't the first interview posted, but you were the first one that I did as a podcaster. And I have to share with our listeners that I was terrified. I was terrified for all sorts of reasons. Imagine doing a podcast episode with your voice coach. It was a delight, though, because the benefit of doing a first interview with your voice coach is that you can trust with all of your heart and your mind that your guest has it covered, that I knew that Tracy could front, back, and center really take care of herself in the interview. And I just had to learn how to be a podcaster. And Tracy has helped me do that from many years ago to now. And we've shared episodes on each other's podcasts. And I'm so grateful for our partnership. And yeah, you were the first one that I ever did. And it was memorable for me because I was so scared.
I do not remember you being scared, but I do remember, I knew I was about, I think I'm about number five in the rollout. But I'm so grateful that I could be that first one for you to give you that opportunity to settle in and find your way. And I think that the kind of voice work that I do is really about finding your way, finding your voice, I don't remember exactly. I know you said, I just knew I wanted to work with you, but I don't remember if there was anything specific, like I need more confidence, I need more this, but I think without a doubt, you really got so rock solid on who you are vocally in our time together. And I think that you embody that everywhere all the time. Would you agree? I mean, like you feel comfortable using your voice now.
I really agree. I really feel that the work helped me in a relatively short amount of time. It was several weeks and it was very intensive. And there was a lot of group work and there was a lot of video work and there was a lot of feedback from you and the other classmates. But I think not only did I learn about specific voice things that I could do, voice exercises, voice skills, you taught trust of the voice and of yourself. And that was, I think, probably what I was looking for. I knew before meeting you that my voice was betraying me in certain circumstances, but often enough that it would be worth the time, energy, and investment to figure out what that was, especially because I knew I was about to launch a podcast. It was the podcasting course that I was in after all. And that was just the best timing of the universe helping Christine Lee out that there ever was, because I started that podcast with a much higher level of trust in my own voice.
Yeah. You said two words that I absolutely love. And I think, especially coming off my most recent research around know, like, and trust, I think that that is a primary thing that is a part of psychology of the voice, is getting people to trust that they know, trust their own voice. Now, it's not only trusting themselves, but trusting their listener to trust them. So I love that you said that word. And then shortly after that, you said another word that I love, which is betrayal. And I think they really go together. And I think you really teed up us moving this forward. Well, I don't even think it was intentional, but thank you very much because you're making this easy for me for sure. But we don't trust ourselves and we are afraid we're going to betray who we really are. And I want to use that as a springboard to dive into a topic that the listeners, you have heard me touch on this a little bit, but get ready because it's going to be a big topic for me. And Christine and I talked about it right before we hit record, that we don't trust ourselves enough to find ourselves. And part of why we're in the situation we're in right now with buyer trust being at an all-time low is because we've lived in this copycat world. Surely I must not be good enough. So let me see what they're doing and let me copy that. So where do we start with this, Christine? Are you seeing the same thing? People don't trust themselves. People are reaching outside of themselves. People are missing the opportunity because they're not finding their own way. Is that a kickoff that you could take and run with a little bit?
Possibly. I can't promise. But what you made me think is that I've been seeing this for decades. I've been seeing this in my private practice as a psychologist, that people are caught up in their fears. That really is the practice of psychology, is helping people to separate and relax and feel safe in the face of actual fear or imagined fear. It can be actual threats that the person is facing, but so often, and more often, I would say, it's threats that the person is imagining. And so I've been very accustomed to seeing patterns and looking for patterns and helping clients disentangle their own habit patterns with their fears for decades. In the online space for online businesses, I would say that I myself have been caught up in the same kind of fear cycle, which is, oh, I'm not growing quickly enough. What do I do? How do I show up in a different way? What is the trend? What's on social media? What's hot? What are my colleagues doing? What haven't I done? And getting all torqued up in needing to do more, needing to do it better, needing to look like a certain thing or needing to sound a certain way. And it can be a full-time job just to keep up with that. And I do think it is a bit much at this point, because I agree with what Tracy and I spoke about before we pressed record, that everything is seeming the same, that trends are starting to make everything seem like it's just the same blanket covering over this space that could be much more dynamic, much more lively, perhaps, much less templated. And I find myself, maybe my natural self, is to hang back when I see that. I can tell you a story that just comes to mind. When I was interviewing for graduate school, the one program that I ended up attending had a group interview. And if you can imagine group anxiety, this was this group interview was the picture of group anxiety. And the conversation was free-flowing. They said, you cannot talk about your work and you cannot talk about any labels like I'm from New York or anything. Mm-hmm. So it was really an open discussion and they wanted to see how each person would participate. And the conversation went in a way that was very uncomfortable for me. It was kind of a little bit of us versus them. And I just decided to stay quiet. And I think that may be what I'm doing with social media trending right now. I'm curious and I'm listening, but until I know what I really want to do, I'm going to maybe take a pause, take a breath, see what I want to do. And that can be hard because I feel in some ways, maybe I'm missing communicating with some people. Maybe I should be doing more, but that's my current state of mind. And I hope that story about that group interview helped, because I think we don't have to hop onto every trend and we don't have to feel like we're missing out on everything. Because like you said a few minutes ago, your life takes so many different twists and turns and it's all going to work out. We just have to trust ourselves that we're the journeyer, that what we choose to jump into and what we choose to stay out of is part of that grand path. It's going to be okay. I think worry is the trick. It's the thing that can either just make you feel like, oh, I can't hang back because that's the threat, is that I'll miss something. Or if I hang back, then my business is going to tank, right? That you get yourself into worry pot number one or worry pot number two. And that's no fun either. Online business is difficult enough without having your own mindset lead you into bucket one or bucket two of worry. And so that's why you and I are talking now, because we do have these innate tools like our voice, like our unique skills, like our unique offerings, our unique gifts that we each carry. into the online space that are always going to be there. They're never going to be in short supply. They're always going to be in demand because there's somebody out there who needs you in particular. And I think that's what Tracy and I really love to talk about and love to think about and love to be out there in this space as experimenters, people who are doing the journey to find the people to do the right work.
Yeah. And I may come back to finding the right people and finding the right work in relation to your work. And I definitely am going to come back and talk about worry in relation to time. But you said a couple of other things that I think are really important. I am a researcher for a number of reasons, but I think the biggest driver and the reason why I love doing research around voice is because of my curiosity and exploration. And I want to find out, oh, why does that do that? Okay, is there a better way? Okay, am I going to the depth of the nuance of the fragment of the sound? You know, that's just the way I work. And I heard a lot in what you said, and I want to check in on some things. And again, it's going to be a little bit of a rubber band ball that I'm going to hand to you. But I think what I heard you say in many ways that I love personally is you stand back and become an observer. And I think that's one of our biggest problems is being still. And I think the answers only come in the stillness. And the answers only come in the curiosity and my willingness to ponder, why does that sound do that? And where does that come from? And that's where the true magic of my work has come. But do we not want to be still? I really want to talk about the being still and being the observer, because I think that's a really uncomfortable place for people and they don't want to go there. And is that why they hop on the trend? They fear they're missing out. They fear that they're not doing enough. And then the true psychology of the voice way is what's behind that, that they are not enough.
I think you said it all question that you said it really beautifully, because you made me think, okay, if I'm hanging back, is that a danger or can I use that as a reflection time? And it is really up to us. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to know whether we're using our time to serve our fear or if we're using our time to serve our purpose. And it's a very fine line. It's a super fine line. And I think anybody in the online space knows that really well. I don't have to come here to tell you that. You know when you're wasting your time. You know when you throw up a post and you know you didn't put your heart into it or you're not really connected to what you said. And then you know when you've done something that means so much to you, even if no one else responds to it. And we know all of those different states. And so I think that we can be still and reflect. But I am a big advocate of really doing the active action taking. So I don't mean to say I'm not posting anymore. I still do post. Yeah. I'm just curious about where my own path of being online is going to be. How can I expand? And I can use the trends as information, but do I have to repeat the trends? Not necessarily. I really don't. There's no demand. That's the fun thing about being online is there are literally no rules. You can curse. You can put your kid on the screen. You can put your dogs on the screen. You know, you can pause as long as you want. You can do ums and ahs. And ironically, I think it's the expansiveness of the opportunity that can make us feel like we're not enough. And the irony is we're all enough and people are just waiting for us to come out so that we can be really fully seen. And it's our job. It's probably a lifetime's work to nurture that part of us that is true, that is real, that is excited, that is earnest, that is connectable to the person who needs our help, for those of us who are in the helping service fields. And even for the product delivery, right? Your product presumably has a helping aspect, whether it's entertainment or soothing something or someone or healing acne, right? We have to figure out what is it about your heart that wants to just say, I'm serving you, I'm helping you, I care about you, I see you, I've been you. And that's a trick. And I have noticed that as much as I sometimes talk about authenticity and care about that, I also feel as someone who's online that I'm not showing my entire true self online, right? I've got clutter under this table that you're not seeing right now because I'm reworking the room and because I tend to be a cluttered person. And I can say that now, but are you going to see that on Instagram? Not yet, at least not for me, not yet, because I haven't healed that part of myself yet. But I'm in a journey. I do feel like I've done away with so many different layers of fear with your help and with the help of other coaches, past therapists, current clients, current coaching clients. You learn from everywhere. It's when the fear prevents you from learning what you can discard, what you can stop hanging on to and being attached to, that's the real stuckness. You can be posting every day and still be stuck inside your heart. And I think it's really important, as you mentioned, to look what is happening within first, because it really does affect all the energy that we are putting out and our posts.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, I've joked for years, if I accidentally move this camera a quarter of an inch, the illusion is shattered. Trust me.
You got to try the under desk route.
Well, you know, if I didn't have the dog idea, that there would be this madness under the desk if I put anything on the floor. But there's a couple of things that I thought about as you were saying that. First of all, I love what you were saying about the fine line. And I think that's a real valuable thing to go, okay, to question oneself and say, okay, am I being in the stillness to be the observer to get the next download, it would be for me, or am I avoiding? And that's where the discernment comes in. And I think so much of this is really about not being afraid and the journey. And where I'm going to go next is the journey. But there was one question I wanted to ask, and I think it may almost be a trick question. Does comparison create a huge part of why we can't do this? Because I have access to see everybody. And I can, in a split second, immediately discern I'm not enough.
Yes. And you said that immediately after my thoughts went to the way to shortcut this entire journey of stillness, posting, what am I, who am I, where am I worrying, is not caring what other people think. And that really is the big thing. And then you said the thing with comparison. I do think that is the biggest fear driver that is affecting us, because we know our message, we know our experience, we know much of ourselves at a certain point in your life. Even if you're a younger person, you can know yourself really deeply, of course. But it's that cousin who might be judgmental. It's that person who hasn't come across your feed yet. It's that part of your set of internalized introjects, they would say in psychology, that really cruel one, that brutal one, that critical one that is still there. That thing is live. It doesn't go away. It can be quieted down and ignored, but it's still there. It's still, all these parts of us are always live. So yeah. So we need to constantly be nurturing the part of ourselves that does speak, that does show up, that does stay grounded. And I feel like that's a full-time job too. It can be, right? Yeah. Well, you need to exercise. You need to work on your voice. You need to show up. You need to pitch yourself to new podcasts. Yeah. You need to work on your messaging. You need to get a new brand color. All this stuff is part of the process. It's part of the journey. It's part of hoping. But along the way, you're going to get the feedback. You're going to get the downloads, like Tracy mentioned. And that's where things start firing. That's where the energy starts to build. And then it's not all about your struggle, your journey, your hanging back or not. Then you've got an audience. Then you've got leadership skills to develop and hone. Then you've got people giving you information that you can then create from. That's the joy of online work, is that this is this energy pile. It's like a galaxy unto itself. And it's huge. It's huge. Yeah. And we're stars in the galaxy, each trying to connect to the neighboring stars for help.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I have said for years now, all roads in voice lead to fear of judgment, abandonment, rejection, and worth. That's the underbelly of it all. That's the last layer of it all is, can I get okay with being judged? And the newest one that comes out of my recent research is that I'm really going to, this is a dragon I'm going to slay for anybody that comes in contact with me in 2024 and beyond is, yeah, I'm okay if you don't like me. Do I want you to? Of course I do. Am I okay if you don't? Yes, that will not stop my purpose and mission. And I think that we've been trained to, well, if I can get them to like me, if people like me, then I'm okay. If I think you're okay, even if I don't like you, that's subjective to a degree.
You also make me think, though, we have to like ourselves, and that can be
yes,
a trick.
That's it. Well, that's the work. And that's that right there with trust. And I think trusting self is a big part of taking the journey. I have to trust myself to take it, right?
How often do you hear people say, I don't like my voice?
Oh. Well, there's probably billions that I've never heard say it. Yeah. And do you know, I researched that last year. And do you know why I think that is?
Why?
There's actually a scientific study that was done, and I studied the study. And so from a technical scientific perspective, and this is true, I agree with the study, the way our sound vibrates internally against our bones, we don't have those bones when it comes out externally, we're hearing the sound differently. And most people many people like the voice in their head. They like the way it sounds in their head. And the bad news is it doesn't sound that way. The way we hear your voice is the external voice that you hear. And I became fascinated with that because, as usual, I felt like there was something more. And what I discovered in this research is the reason that people that don't like their voice don't like their voice is because they can hear their pain and suffering and wounds in it.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And I don't want you to hear that I'm insecure because I hear it in my voice and I don't want you to hear it. So I like that voice in my head better that says, I am confident.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
And this is the first time I've talked about it.
That makes so much sense too.
Right?
Because there's a danger in revealing your vulnerability or perceived yes, danger in doing that. And which is the reason for all worry, like you listed before, right? Abandonment.
Yeah. Yep. Judgment. Rejection.
Judgment. Mm-hmm.
Worth. If I'm trying to pitch you my service and I don't feel worthy enough to do it, that is not what I want in my voice. And I can hear it.
So let's screw up the pitch instead.
Yes. Right. Right. And, you know, not to make this all about voice, but that's when we get things like, ooh, I don't like my voice. Now, I don't think the conscious person, I don't think it's conscious. It may be conscious, but it's definitely subconscious. So they go, ooh, I don't like that. That doesn't sound smart. So I'm going to put on a different voice. I'm going to put on my professional voice. And then you've lost it all because you've lost connection then. You've created a barrier and an illusion. And it'll work for you to a degree, but it's still going to lose 30 to 90% of your business.
I will tell you a story
about
how it's subconscious because I was doing a pitch at the end of some webinar. This was years ago. And the client who ended up joining the program said, Christine, you were blocking us from seeing you during the pitch. And I looked at the video in replay and I was literally holding a book in front of my face, blocking the view between me and people in attendance. And that was such a great lesson from a brand new client that, wow, you really have some sort of stuff to work through around selling and around using your voice in this way, because I was trying to block people from coming into the program. As much as I wanted them in, I also, a part of me was afraid to welcome them in. So that's just a fun story.
No, it's
myself.
I love it. And that's exactly the way it works. And I will tell people all the time, the fastest way for me to hear your worst is introduce yourself or sell me something. because our identity is locked into that. Rejection is locked into that. Your judgment is locked into that. Am I worthy enough is locked into that. Back to those four key things that are the baseline of everybody's voice. So it doesn't, I mean, that's probably so common for people to do things like that. Not just you doing something like that. But I think part of, so I want to swing back to, well, I want to talk about journey, but I want to jump back to worry and time for a little bit. You talked about worry and in relation to time, I think a lot of people feel time pressure. I'm this age. I'm this, you know, fill in the blank. That's your true area of expertise in many, many ways. So talk to us a little bit about time.
I think many people are very stressed about time. And I think it is a part of the everyday of how we manage time. I feel people are pretty judgmental about people who do not manage their time well, which is why I am so sympathetic to people who don't, because I definitely was someone who did not know how to manage my time. And I was always mis-evaluating. Is that the right word? I was always miscalculating time. I never felt like I had enough time. So it's both a skill, but it's also a mindset, because now that I've healed so much of that part of me and learned a bunch of time management skills, I realize that we can feel like we have all the time in the world, depending on the circumstances and depending on how we see things. But I do think that the large majority of people are time stressed because they, A, don't know the skills of basic time management, or B, don't understand how they can use their mindset to expand their experience of time. Those are two different things, but I think they're both really necessary to understand so that we have a chance of enjoying our time. Because left to just how things are, how reality is, the to-do list stuff comes in like a fountain, right? Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah. I have come to a point in life to think that's not bad. That's just life, right? Yeah. If your to-do list stop coming, then I feel bad for you, because, you know, there's something that maybe is wrong, that people don't need you, that you're not engaged enough or something like that, or you've stalled in some way so badly that there's nothing happening. So we'll take an active flood of to-dos as a part of regular life. But if you do not engage your skills in time management and your mindset for how to manage your time, that to-do list will overcome you. It will overcome your ego. It will completely obliterate your sense of well-being, because you're going to feel like, I can never catch up. I will never do the basics of what is needed for me to have a regular life. There are definitely many people who are in that subset of people. There are many people who are just barely coping with the regular flow of life. And then there are people who basically know how to keep a rhythm, enough of a rhythm to make sure that they don't sink into despair, that they don't sink into procrastination chronically. I think regular procrastination can be a very useful tool. I think chronic procrastination is something that can be very, very devastating to self-esteem and productivity in general.
Do you think chronic procrastination, and I have no idea, I have no thoughts around this. Well, maybe I do, I don't know. But do you think chronic procrastination in some way is a subconscious protection mechanism?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do think so. I have thoughts. I'm not a researcher, so I have not explored, but I have had very continuous thoughts about the relationship of childhood trauma, other types of trauma, informing how a person guides themselves through life. Yeah. And procrastinating all the time is just not someone, if you have all of your faculties together, full functioning, you're going to avoid procrastination because you're going to figure out a way. And when we do it chronically, it can be a sign that we have an element of our operation system that is shut down. Shut down maybe because of fear, maybe because of overuse, maybe because of abandonment, maybe because of lack of luck. You're just not in the right place in the right time, that you don't have the mentor that can get you out of that space. Lack of voice ability, where you don't like your voice, you've never been given the opportunity to use it fully. So then how can you save yourself from this bucket of procrastination? That was me back in the day when I was doing the decades of chronic procrastination. I never felt that I knew how to use my voice to ask for help, to ask for the sympathy or the empathy or the deadline extension. I would just do all these crazy shenanigans out of a desperation of maybe if I'm nice enough, I'll you know, but nothing really organized or meaningful. It was just kind of cries for help that nobody could read as cries for help because I wasn't crying. I was, I was as I seem now, happy and kind of extroverted and okay. But inside, I was a panicked mess all the time. So I think, the chronic nature of not taking care of your stuff definitely can be a reflection of other hurts, other issues, other things that need to be cared about. And I think that's why it's so important to go within and do the within work that you and I both do in order to really do well on the outside. The outside stuff is the secondary stuff. The primary layer is the internal layer.
Can beliefs play into that as well?
100%. 100%.
And you talk about going within, and of course, you know, sometimes that's not easy. I've had many dark nights of the soul. The entire 2023 was a dark night of the soul. And I think, though, that that makes me think about something else that we talked about before I hit record, which was the true concept of self-care. And I think that while I go within and I have shed 42,000 buckets of tears doing this work, I can't imagine not. And I think, is that a form of self-care to go, okay, there's a wound here and I can't keep putting a Band-Aid on it. I have to find out what this is. Or, you know, I mean, it's just kind of like what we were, I want to tie a knot here with earlier we were talking about, well, I'm just going to do what everybody else is doing. And sometimes I think we just throw these things around, like the word authenticity, and nobody really knows what that means and how to find it. And I think the same thing happens with self-care. What does that even mean? Does that mean I'm not going to eat three pieces of pie? Does it mean I'm going to go within? I think that's one of those concepts that we maybe sometimes think we're doing, but are we really doing it?
You ask the most amazing and thoughtful, and I would say difficult questions to you. But I my response to you, I always have a response somewhere, is that to think of your flow. We all have a flow. Sometimes it's not flowing so flowy. sometimes it's not like a river, but we do have an energy flow. And when you feel that your energy is not flowing, that's time to look. It doesn't have to be catastrophic. It doesn't have to be, you know, alert the news. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It doesn't have to involve tears, but of course, sometimes it does. And it really is, can we develop a flow, a better flow, a more reliable flow that we can start to trust? And maybe that's originating from a trauma that we've experienced, or maybe it's because we just don't believe in ourselves, just because we don't, something happened and that teacher said that one thing, right? I'm sure you've worked with those people too. So that person in fifth grade made fun of you, and then you never thought you could use that skill again because you thought that person had it right, read you right. And it's restoring a flow. And I think we all come from a natural flow. We all are born with a natural flow. It's in some ways taken away from us, or we give it away. And then in our later adults, or when we get on this journey, we decide, you know what? I care about myself and my performance enough and my time on this planet to figure out how to restore the flow. And so those moments when you break the flow and you can't go forward, those are gifts Those are gifts of the message of this is where you've been injured. This is where you need more work. Mm-hmm. This is where you need to hire an excellent coach. This is where you need to see what everybody else is doing and have fun with it, because you are not having fun. Because if you were having fun, you'd be in flow. So there's principles of fun and enjoyment that we haven't talked about so much in this episode, but I do, and I've been taught that fun and expansion are principles of the universe and are principles that should guide our experience. Are we having fun? Is this thing helping me to grow and expand? If it's not, we should check it. We should see, do I need this? Do I need to be attached to this? Do I need to worry about this? Is this really important for who I am? It probably isn't.
So there really was something to that, are we having fun yet? You remember that phrase? I think it was on bumper stickers. I don't even remember.
That was a really long time ago.
It was a really, probably the 90s, probably. Yeah. And I don't even remember where it came from. But I think the same thing happens in voice. It gets so heavy and so, I know it's not going to work out, and so braced, and so where we can't, we just can't get we're, there's no space. There's absolutely no space. It's the same thing.
And I am similar to you in that I can hear it in people's voice, especially after going through the training with you. I can hear it.
Yeah.
And I think because I calmed my own fears in my voice down, that I can hear other people's ear voice even more loudly.
Yeah, you definitely never hear voices the same after you spend a little time with me, for sure. But I think that's a good thing. Because I think it makes, I mean, you're already an amazing coach, but it probably makes you even better because you can hone in really quick on, oh, I know what's happening here. Because there's so many clues in the voice that now you can discern.
Yes.
So, all right. Trust has come up a couple of times. Trust and the journey. And, you know, I think, well, I was going to say something about hard questions too, because I tell you what, it must be the thing for 2024, Christine, because I've been on, recorded maybe three or four shows already this year. And I'm telling you what, they busted out the hardest questions I've ever been asked in my life. I was like, okay, I'm going to need a minute. I mean, you know,
what is that?
I love, because I think that because I'm all about depth. And I think that people are seeking depth, and I've always been about depth. So I always love the heart. I mean, I don't mind any question, but I really like those thought-provoking questions, those profound questions that I think we need to be asking and looking at to really be on the journey to discover what is our ultimate passion. Maybe not even, I guess maybe our purpose. I think we're so browbeat with find your purpose, find your way, that sometimes we almost go, okay, that's my purpose, I'll do it. But, you know, I avoided my purpose for as long as I could. And then I said, okay, fine, I'll do it, but I'm not doing it the way you want me to do it. I'm going to do it like technique, because that's safe. And it's been a whole lifetime of a journey of evolution. You know, I still continue to say profound things, I feel like, because I still continue to search. And I go, okay, you know what? I didn't like that program. I don't think that worked the way I wanted it to. Or, you know what? I didn't like that offer because that didn't light me up. No, I don't want to do a membership because there's something in there that's sticky for me. And maybe I do one someday, but I don't do it now. And I've been on that journey my whole life. I've got a lot of solid things now, but what is the permission slip of the journey? You're on that journey right now. What, tell us a little bit about that process, maybe, of seeking. It's a seeking thing, yeah?
It's definitely a seeking thing. And it's also a trust in the experiment as well.
Love that.
And that with each experiment, I think perhaps our trust deepens a little bit. We may not see it that way. But I do think it's more for your intuition. It's more for your experience bank. It's a different way for you to experience different types of energy with each new format, a membership, a webinar, a three-day something, something video challenge. You have to pull out a different set of energies, a different set of experiences you're creating. And I think that's the thing, is just as long as you're creating, I think things have I want to say they're going to be healthy for you mm-hmm. because you're allowing yourself to speak and express and teach and learn at the same time. Is everything going to be a slam bang party? Maybe not. Maybe it will. Mm-hmm. But that's the trust level, is that you can do this. You can be a leader. You mm-hmm. can tolerate the failures. Mm-hmm. You can learn from the mistakes. And this is why there's such a great number of coaches in this space, I think, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. this journey work is not simple, and we can't see our own areas that need work oftentimes. Sometimes totally. We do, but then we have to get the courage to say, I raise my hand and I need your help. Again, there's that. So there is a value in getting help. There is a value in the experimentation and just in keeping going. And mm-hmm. there are a lot of very, like, let's say the celebrity level influencers, like the Oprah types of people who I just was scrolling this morning, and there were a bunch of messages saying, really, it's about the continued journey, right? Mm-hmm. Like Tracy's work, that you've done this with throughout the 42,000 buckets of tears. And you are the expert now. You embody that expertise. You are powerful in your work because of that, because of staying. Mm-hmm. And staying is part of trusting yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? Trusting is saying, I can do this again. It doesn't have to be that difficult. I think sometimes podcast conversations can make things seem like they're so, I don't know, philosophical. Sometimes it's not. Yeah. Sometimes it's just like, turn on the camera and go. And that's what you teach too, right? The first time I recorded a video for your analysis, again, stress, right?
Yeah.
But it's going through that stress. Yeah. And then you learn, oh, I get such good feedback from Tracy when I do this funny experiment. Let me do it again. And then by the end of the program, we're all selling like we're on QVC. So, and those in particular, those exercises of, okay, sell me something, mm-hmm. right? That stressed mm-hmm. me out. Like, I can still remember that mm-hmm. level of stress from those mm-hmm. exercises, but so good. And who else mm-hmm. is going to do that for you? But people like Tracy, right? They're, mm-hmm. you want to find the people that you connect with that have those tools, can take you to the place that you feel afraid to go through yourself. That's it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there were only 42,000 buckets of tears because I am so stubborn and hard-headed and rebellious and refusing to let go of the illusion of controlling the outcome.
Yes.
You know, if there's a lesson to be learned, I'm going to learn it the hard way. And I came out of the womb that way. So I think but I don't mind the tears. I don't mind them one bit. And everything you said was so good. And you said another word that I think is key here, which is allow. I allowed it to be okay that I started working with actors and then I decided I didn't want to anymore. And then I wanted to work with companies and then I didn't anymore. And then I wanted to work with entrepreneurs and then I wanted to go back to celebrities. And then I've allowed that. I've never condemned myself like I picked this, I've got to stay in this. And I think that allowing, like you talk about, is so key. I have to allow myself to fail. I have to allow imperfection. I have to allow, I don't like doing it that way anymore. I have to allow, no, I'm not interested in a membership at this time. I'm more interested in a high ticket offer. And, you know, whatever it is, I think we have to get okay with what we want is okay. And if what we want changes, that's okay too.
Yes. You make me think about that flow metaphor.
It's the flow.
Again.
That's the flow.
Yeah. If you're not letting the river flow, the river is not flowing. Then you don't have a river. That's it. It's okay. It's okay. It's really all okay. Yeah. But keep the flow of the river in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And so good. So good. I love that ending right there on keeping the river flowing. Because I think that's really what it's all about. Now more than ever. Now more than ever. I know y'all are getting sick of me saying connection, authenticity, I'm not playing around with you. I am not playing. I've been saying it for 5 years, but no, it's real deal now. And we won't go into this today, but we will have a conversation around AI and how that's going to drive the intensity around really finding your real voice, finding your real passion, finding your real self. It's go time, I think. And I think people, I don't know if you're seeing this, Christine. I'll say this one last thing. I'm seeing people being called to rise up in a way I've never seen before. Are you seeing that too? Are you feeling that?
I don't know if I have the same vantage point that you do.
Okay.
But I would say that I'm feeling it for myself. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So exciting things on the horizon. Christine, this has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for being such a fantastic host and friend. Appreciate you.
Yeah. It was a great conversation. I loved every minute of it. And thank you, listeners. Always great to have you with me. I'm going to wrap it up. That's it for today. And I'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at captivatetheroom.com and be sure to grab The Voice Formula, a free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.